Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live on the Media Row in New Orleans. Thank you very much to our presenting sponsor, Stella Artois, for making it happen. I feel like I'm going to go really New Orleans and try to say it like that from here on out. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for what a lot of people are going to be thrilled for, this C-Block.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. This is the C-Block where we have all sorts of chaos and fun at the same time. But last year, I saw that one of my instructors, one of my professors from Richland College, was here on Facebook, and I went, oh, I know exactly where that is. And I stood up, and I ran over to that area, and they were gone. And I was like, oh, no. Well, this year I made sure to get out in front of it, and I said, I need to make sure that she comes by and says hello and tells all the listeners how great of a student I was and why we have this show.
There's no way.
But joining us right now, we do have Marjorie Lewis, Scott Murray, and Marnie Schneider, who are, their show is Journey Through Sports and Life. Now, Scott Murray is an icon in DFW area. Everybody knows Scott Murray. Is that correct? Does everybody know Scott Murray?
Well, maybe a few people do.
And Kevin, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they do know who you are. And I just want to say, we were told last night when we got back to the hotel, because, you know, obviously everybody's out here and they're like, oh, this person and this person. And then with somebody from our morning show goes, yeah, do you guys know Scott Murray? And we both go, Scott Murray's here? And you would have thought like none of those other people in the entire world existed. And I'm going to tell a personal story real quick, if that is okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I hope you like the story, Scott, because you're heavily featured in it. So when I was a kid, and people have been listening to the show for a really long time, when I was a kid, our dad wasn't around, so I was in Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Mm-hmm. And somehow, some way, I think like they were like, hey, you like sports. We're going to pick you. They matched me up, and I did a segment with you where I got to go on the court with the Dallas Mavericks, and no one in the universe has a more treasured Jim Jackson autograph than I do. Wow. Because that is who, like, I got all the guys said hi and stuff, but I got to really talk with Jim Jackson, and he autographed something for me. And, like, I still have it framed to this day, and I think it's the coolest thing in the world, like, monetary value aside. And then you guys really did me right because you had me take a bunch of three-pointers. I made none of them. But when my segment aired, 100%, I got the slow-mo basketball spinning, and it went right into the basket. And people were like, oh, did you really make that three-pointer? I think I might have lied. I was a kid, and I was like, you saw it on TV? That can't be fake. But I just wanted to say, and I'm sure you got the opportunity to do this a lot, I just wanted to shake your hand again, man. That meant a lot to me when I was a kid. So that was like more than 30 years ago, or probably right about 30 years ago. I still remember it like just as plain as day.
Well, that was a week later. I was on the board, excuse me, the Boys and Girls Club, and they said one day at a board meeting, Scott, we've got to do something where we can take a child once a week and go out and promote who they are, what they're all about, and give them an opportunity, especially children from single-parent families and
yep.
what have you.
Yep.
And I said, sure, I can check with our general manager and see if we can do something like that, which I did. Long story short, he said, Scott, want to put your name on it, and you go back and tell Big Brothers, Big Sisters we can do it. So they named it Scott's Kids, and I went. We had it on the air every Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. They gave me 5 minutes, and we did a story about just different kiddos from single-parent families. I was studying to be a pediatrician. My best friend died of leukemia when we were both in second grade. And so I, you know, went off the couch. So I enjoy, even to this day, I'm 19 boards right now, nonprofits.
Oh my gosh.
Either advisory board or board of directors.
He almost and, couldn't make this interview.
Right. So many boards.
So I just have always, but anything to do with children, I'm there. And so so we created the Scott's Kids, and it's great that I ran into somebody not so long ago, and he said, I was one of your, just like you just did, was one of your Scott's Kids. I was at the Armed Forces Bowl earlier this year.
That's...
and came out of the stands, and I was walking down, and I, you know, couldn't believe it. How are you? So we got our picture taken, and I put a little something on Facebook. I said, what are you doing now? He said, I'm an attorney. I
oh,
said,
man.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of neat.
So you're a little disappointed by how I turned out. I get what you're saying.
Not at all. I think it's great what you do. Good for you.
I also want to point out, Kevin is a robot when it comes
that's
to emotions.
True.
And he almost squeezed out a tear just a second ago.
It could have, would have, should have.
I know that's a great story.
I just remember, because, like, I got to leave school early and everything like that. And, like, there is nobody in the world who couldn't tell me that I just experienced the coolest thing that had ever happened. And, like, I know that was during the times when the Mavericks were still not very good whatsoever. But
right. The early days.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so awesome. And I thought about, like, oh, we could chat about that off air. And I was like, you know what? Let's just talk about it on. Got to save it on air. Got
to
save
we'll,
it
we'll
on
have
air.
To take a picture, and we'll do a little another
I,
Facebook.
I would
maybe
be
you can shoot some three-pointers.
Happy to.
We can see how that goes. There's a little machine back here.
I would be glad to.
Now, Marjorie was my instructor at Richland, and it was the first time I went to Richland with the idea of being a sports writer, being on TV, being radio, to have wanted to do all those things, and she really helped me harness all of that. I remember, Marjorie, one of the first newspapers I laid out, I handed it to her, and it came back, and it was just dripping red. And she went
like
through.
Like it'd been murdered.
Yeah, she went through, and she pointed to this, this, this. And then when she looked at me, she goes, I just think you can do better. And I was like, oh. And so I went and sat down, and I came back with better. And because of Marjorie, that was where the work ethic started. It really started there. But while we were there, you know, you've done so many things, Marjorie. You were the first woman to cover the Cowboys. You had all these amazing stories, but the only one we introduced Marjorie with was she just interviewed Angelina Jolie. And all these great things, and we're like, she just interviewed Angelina
Jolie. That's all
Jolie.
Anybody cared about.
And I was like, she's done so many other things, but this is the lead. You know, this is where we start. Can you kind of tell me how things have gone since then? Because you released a book since then, and you've done so much more.
Well, thank you, Corey. And I do have to tell everybody, Corey was an excellent student. One of the things that, okay, my allergies are showing
up. It's catching up, yeah.
But, she's allergic to lying. She just said
No. One of the things that I'll always remember about Corey is that whenever anything needed to be done, he was ready to do it. It didn't matter. And he was just outstanding. Student, one that you want everybody to have students like Corey. So I really appreciate that work. He made things move, and I seriously, whenever you needed anything, Corey was right there. And so with my career, so I, like you said, I covered the Cowboys. After that, I, you know, and what's interesting is I thought when I covered the Cowboys, that was like the highlight of my journalism career. But I've learned since then that it became the foundation of
yes.
my career. And I've been very fortunate. Yes, I did write a book a few years ago. I wrote a book about a woman named Tyleen Wilson who coached football in Brownwood, Texas during World War II. And it's in the process of being made into a film, Mandalay Pictures.
Really?
That's
awesome.
So that's been a thrill. I'm now commissioner of the Global Flag Football League, which we're starting to work on the first professional flag football league. And also I teach at the University of North Texas. And so I've just been doing a lot of things that I really enjoy. I loved teaching. When I retired from Richland, I thought I wasn't going to teach anymore. And then the University of Tulsa asked me to do a summer course. And then I thought, oh, I just can't. I've got to go back to this. And I've been doing it ever since 2013 again.
And this is how I connected with Mickey. I always say she gave me the internship. She hooked me up with an internship with Mickey Spagnuolo at the Cowboys website. And I always say, Mickey taught me everything I know. And then he always says, I'm not sure that's a great thing to brag about. So we'll just see how things go.
Well, I'd love that, because when I had students like Corey, I used my connections in the industry to get them internships. And that worked out really well for a number of them. And I'm really pleased with that. And I've been following your career, and it's just such a thrill for me.
Thank you. And we're now, Kevin, the number 9 midday show in all of America. So
that rating's low.
We've done something.
That rating's low.
We need to be higher. We're working on getting higher.
So, Marty, there's a lot of pressure on you now, because Marjorie and Scott both have like 8,000 jobs. Do you also do many things concurrently that make people like me who have but the one job feel kind of ashamed?
Well, yes, they do a lot. And I always say that I'm amazed at their energy and enthusiasm for doing things not only for themselves, but also for others and to make a difference. I think that I've dipped my toe in the water of like trying to keep up with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not easy.
It's daunting.
It is. Yes. But I will say this, that, you know, a long time ago, my grandfather, Leonard Toews, owned the Philadelphia Eagles. And I only wish that Marjorie and Scott were covering Philadelphia and not being in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, because I think that their civility is so good to everybody, and Philadelphia is, you know, a little bit rough around the edges. My grandfather probably would have not sold the team if Marjorie and Scott, you know, but it's okay. But I get to, you know, be friends with them and work with them weekly. So,
and she's an author.
Tell them about your book, too.
Yeah. So I've written a series of kids' books called Football Freddy and Fumble the Dog Game Day.
Yes.
And each book takes you on a tour through a different NFL city. So Freddy and Fumble, who really is my dog, is a little chihuahua, and then a different friend in each town. You get to travel around, see all the sights, and then make your way to the stadium to cheer on the home team. So what's kind of fun about this particular event, you know, happening on Sunday, is that I have a book about Kansas City.
Oh, cool.
And a book about Philadelphia. So I've written 11 books so far, 11 different cities. But
is that all correlated to those teams went to the Super Bowl? Because I need to know that.
It's not. In fact, Scott was with me last week at the Ronald McDonald House. Scott and Timmy Newsom came, and we did a story time, because I have a Football Freddy and Fumble the Dog Game Day in Dallas-Fort Worth. And Scott and Timmy showed up. Marjorie could have, but she was doing 4 other things at the same time.
Gotcha.
And so we did a story time there, and definitely find ways to get kids reading, which is something I know we all are very passionate about. And also the most important thing are being fans, in particular sports fans.
And Kevin, let me jump in here. She's being real mild, but her dad, or her grandfather, I mean, Leonard Toews, was one of the founders of the Ronald McDonald House.
Really?
Yes.
I'll tell you this.
I need to do
my
more
daughter,
with my life.
Daughter was born with some brain injuries, and we had to go up to Cleveland Clinic to go get our best opportunities. And quite honestly, it's worked. We finally got the right medicine for her, and she's rocking along. We wouldn't have been able to do it. We wouldn't have been able to go up to Cleveland Clinic if I couldn't stay at the Ronald McDonald Foundation House. To be able to stay at one of those houses was such a big deal for me, because we couldn't afford that. And they welcomed us, and there were so many other families there that were kind of in the same boat. So thank you.
Thank you.
I also get very emotional
hearing about that.
Yeah, we'd like to do our shows at future Super Bowls, maybe even have one at a local Ronald McDonald House.
It's just
such an important thing that her grandfather.
It's an incredible place. I had a golf tournament in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for 27 years, the Scott Murray Charity Classic, when we raised close to $3 million for the Ronald McDonald House. All the money went to the Ronald McDonald House. It was incredible.
Can y'all do me a favor? The journey through sports and life. I know y'all have many stories. I learned so many new things from you as you were like, oh, yeah, I was there with Tony Dorsett when he had his baby, and we sat on his curb and talked for hours. And I was just like, these stories are amazing. What can I get from the journey through sports and life?
Well, it the same kind of thing. Our show, it runs on DBTV, and we interview people for the whole duration of our show. So we'll have 45 minutes on the air to 50 minutes, and we bring in one guest, and it's like a documentary. They tell us their life stories. You know, we got one story from Drew Pearson about, you know, how did he start playing football? It was because his older brother played, and his father gave his older brother a steak dinner before games, and Drew wanted the steak.
I want a steak.
You know, just little stories that you don't know. When Jim Jeffcoat's mother made him go outside in the backyard and tackle a bag of potatoes, he learned how to tackle with a sack of potatoes. We find such great little stories that you don't hear normally, and that's what we do on our show.
And then Jim Jeffcoat's son is in Plano West, tackling everything he can.
Right.
We covered him while he was in high school, him and Rex Burkhead. What a great time we got to have while we were doing that. Kevin, did you have something else?
I wanted to say thanks for using the platform that all of y'all have to help out people who have no such platform. I just always think that's really cool when people like, hey, I have an opportunity, let me help out other people with it. I think it's amazing every single time.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we really appreciate y'all hopping over today. I hope y'all have a wonderful time while y'all are here. And I've talked about you so much, Marjorie. My wife is here with me, and she's like, I need to see her.
Oh,
and
we've
I was
got
like,
to
okay,
meet.
So
yes,
we'll catch
this
up
other
with
woman.
You.
I mean,
yeah, exactly. Sometimes, but we're all in the same hotel, so we'll figure it out. We'll see how things go.
Definitely.
Thank you again so much for hopping on with us.
Thanks.
The
Melissa.
Journey through sports and life. Scott Murray, Marjorie Lewis, and Marnie Schneider. Thank y'all very much for hopping on.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we had to bump them before. Hopefully it didn't happen again this time. AM on the FM next right here on 105 Through the Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Want to thank Stella Artois once again. And I'm going to say it fancy like that because we're in New Orleans every single time or until they ask me to stop doing that. But I want to thank them for being the presenting sponsor and bringing us out to New Orleans. Also, big shout out to the Low T Center, Best Buy Windows and Siding for making all of this awesomeness happen.
Kevin, if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app,
I'm listening to you right here.
Okay, I appreciate that. Make sure you get your hour in. Don't forget about your hour. Automatically entered into an Odyssey national contest for a chance to win a Vegas vacation for four. Count them, four. Airfare, hotel, and $5,000 each. Kevin, that's $20,000 that you can do whatever you want with it. You don't have to just gamble. You can do other things, too, but I'd gamble it.
Hold on. When you say I can do whatever I want with it, if I'm the person who wins, can what I want to do with it be not give it to my other friends?
Maybe. Hey, man, okay. That's up to you, bro.
Okay.
Download the app, and if you don't already have it, download it. Make sure you get your hour in, and that's going to give you an entry for a chance to win this amazing prize.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Now, just as amazing, potentially, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
I've got four friends. I just don't know if I trust them with money. So me personally, I'd keep that money if you win that national contest. It's time for AM on the FM. And yes, we did have to shift things around thanks to Ramona Shelburne for joining us on loan from ESPN. That one took a little while to get figured out because she was up all night writing a story that happened to be about your Dallas Mavericks. So but that can get in the way sometimes, you know?
And by the way, for the person who texted in and said, please will you tell Scott Murray that I have a beautiful picture of him from my grandmother with a beautiful smile autograph from Channel 5, I told him. He thought it was delightful.
We did something good today then. That makes me feel good.
If nothing else, I hope people liked that last segment. It meant a lot to me. I can tell it meant a lot to Corey. So, yeah, thanks, guys.
Me personally, I think you've done a lot of good things today, including Mike.
God, I hung out and talked to people.
Mike, that's what I'm talking about.
See,
dude.
That's good. The good vibes. Look at that. Let the good times roll out there in New Orleans. But we got the question of the day coming up here in just a second. Plus, how I tried to escape reality that Luka is not on my team last night, and I still couldn't escape it. You're going to hear that here in just a second. But I was thinking about the question of the day actually when I woke up this morning because, you know, you guys were texting last night about, like, food options and stuff, and I jokingly said, yeah, I'm cool with whatever. So I started thinking about, like, This is a sports-based trip that you're going on, so I was thinking about my sports bucket list, and since I'm still pretty new to this stuff, I've still got a pretty long bucket list of, like, places and events I want to go to, so what is something on your sports bucket list that you need to cross off sometime soon? 877-881-1053, because for me, obviously, Media Row would be very fun, but something that I grew up always wanting to do and always wanting to go to and now is a bit more realistic now that I cover the team is go to training camp for the Cowboys. That was just like, that was a dream of mine. I know that it's not what it used to be in terms of the actual practices and whatever. It's a lot more relaxed, but growing up, I wanted to cover the Cowboys. So I said, I will go to Oxnard. That was always my thing growing up. And one of the main reasons I get into this is because I'm like, that would be really cool to go out there once a year and cover the team and, you know, meet the new players, talk to the current players and whatever. Like, that still hasn't happened for me. So it's still, you know, really cool. It's a really cool concept to me. And I know important people are listening right now. So if we want to make that happen sometime soon, that would be awesome. But, you know, I don't make those decisions. So, but I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, Media Row, that would be easy to say because y'all are out there right now. Training camp for the Cowboys has been something. Spring training for the Rangers, too, would be amazing as well. That seems really fun. But, like, any of these training camps that are away from DFW, I would love to go to one of those and say I finally did it.
So the one for me, I would absolutely love to go to Wimbledon. Now, I want to go to England in general. I've never left North America. Like, I've been to Canada, Mexico, now up to 49 of the 50 states, but I've not left North America.
50 of the 51.
Yes. 50 of the 51 states.
Because of the Gulf of America.
No, okay, we're not going to get into that at this exact moment.
Because
but
tariffs.
I will love I would have, but I got a tariff put on me. And so I would love to go to England, and specifically, I would love to go in the summer and get the opportunity to go to Wimbledon. I don't even care, like, if it's center court. I just want to go there. I think that would be amazing.
I was the same with Cowboys camp. You know that about me.
Yes.
Like, that was my whole goal in life. When I started working with Mickey at the Cowboys website, the goal was to cover the Cowboys at a training camp in Oxnard, and I've been able to do it, and it's been, I know Mike, you can see it on my face. Mike's even said it before. He's like, I can tell you enjoy this.
Yeah.
The covering the Rangers is the coolest thing.
Spring training is the most fun, I think.
It is so much fun to be out there. The access you have to the players and everything. So I think those two things are significant. I have always wanted to cover a Super Bowl, like, from the game.
Yeah.
That for me, does that help?
No, that makes sense. I was just going to say, I saw a couple of people text in, go to the World Cup. I didn't get to go to the World Cup in 94.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes back around this time, Brandon and I have already talked about it. Like, we're definitely going to go. And I know AT&T is going to have the semifinal. And sure, if somehow I came across those tickets, you're damn right I would go to that. But
yeah.
It feels more likely that we'll get, like, one of the group stage matches or something like that. But I'll still be super pumped to do that.
So I'm looking at my Ranger schedule, and I remember doing this because I'm going to be calling a lot of the games this year for the Rangers, is I wanted to meet Bob Uecker. So I know you're saying what can you do and not what you wish
you could have
done. But
you thought you were going to, right?
And I don't know if you still traveled with the Brewers because I'm looking. They play Milwaukee the 8th, 9th, and 10th. By the way, in September. Man, going to see if they're both healthy, I think you could see a special player in Jackson Churio come to town. I know that's in September. But I was really hoping it was, I will tell you, one of my bucket lists that I didn't even know, but I got lucky enough to do last year, and that was I got to be at Oakland Coliseum for the last game ever of the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And as a player, I did not go to Oakland. I played against Oakland when I was on the Rangers, but they came to Oakland. I'd never went on the trip to Oakland, so I wasn't on the team where Frankie Francisco slung a chair into the stands and started a riot.
Yep.
That was the year I was on the Rangers.
what a great time.
Yeah.
But it is really fun to get to go to these stadiums and check it out. So for some reason, baseball stadiums seem to have a lot more kind of nostalgia with fans. I'm like, I want to go to the baseball stadiums where football and basketball don't seem to be the same.
Baseball's very romantic. And if you
go about like, I've got to go to the New York Giants stadium, you know?
Before all the renovations and stuff, I got to see Soldier Field.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
When I was working at the website, I got many times to be at Texas Stadium with nobody in it.
That's
so
cool.
at the stadium, nobody's there, and I'm on the middle of the field just waiting. That was really fun.
It's weird too.
But there is, Mike. You're right, man. And I think it's just because we're all a little romantic about baseball. Most people played T-ball as a kid and had a little fun experience. And there's something about that. Do you still get an itch? Like, do you kind of look at it and go, I wish I was on the field right now? Or are you like, I like being up in this?
I understand that now. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So in 2010 and 11, I'll always say I was very jealous of those Texas Rangers. I believed I could still help a major league team. There were 30 teams that didn't believe I could.
Yeah.
So that was very tough. But now, and not just now, for at least 10 years, I'm like, I can't compete at that level. I can't even come close to competing at that level. So there was, but now it's not the issue. But there is such excitement for being on the field during batting practice and just being in the dugout and then talking to the other broadcasters, getting kind of information about the other team and what they're going through and what's going good and what's not going good. It does bring like a real, like an energy, not playing is a different one, but there is kind of getting ready for a game again is really fun.
Yes.
And Alec, I don't know if this is on your list because I've seen people mention like Wrigley and Fenway and stuff. Like, if you go to Fenway, I think people still are astonished at how small it is.
Yeah.
Like, compared to maybe the stadiums you're used to. It's the atmosphere outside of it is awesome. Once you get there and like look at the field, it's awesome. But it is smaller than you might think.
I haven't been to Fenway since 2001.
Oh,
so I get to go to Fenway, I believe, at the start of May 6th through the 8th, I'll be at Fenway again for the first time in 24 years.
That's cool.
I never signed the inside. I never even went inside the wall. I want to go inside the wall.
It's time.
That's our saying.
Yeah.
It's time.
It's time.
Okay. Because I was scared. I was scared of my Indian veterans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't want them to...
Teammates.
Yeah,
we probably just played clear,
for Cleveland.
Just
he was playing for
veterans. I wasn't scared of my teammates that I'd played minor leagues with or that were on the team for a year or two. I'd played with them in the minor leagues.
No, just the sentence out of context. I just wanted to really make sure we had the context on there. Just to be safe, Alec.
There is one Mike Bassick.
Just to be safe.
There is only one.
I think I did the right thing.
So now I'm going to see, like, well before batting practice, if I can go inside the green monster.
That would be awesome. That would be so cool. I see from the 469 Lambeau, Fenway, and Pebble Beach. I see from the 214, go to a Cowboys game in Philly. That would be interesting. I'd be scared life, but
would
that would
you
be
wear
interesting.
Cowboys gear?
I'd probably just wear like the most basic, like you see like those renders of people where they have to remove all the logos from their clothing and stuff because it's not licensed or whatever. That would be me. I'm like, you will have no idea who I am and what I'm doing here and why I'm here. I don't want anybody to have any reason to beat me up and throw batteries at me and stuff. That would be no fun. But let's see, to the Rose Bowl from the 817 again.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be there 2 weeks ago, and then the concert got canceled. I was very sad about that. Yeah.
Are they going to reschedule that? Do you get to?
No. It was supposed to be a one-night only thing, and I guess they're booked up for the foreseeable future, so that's not happening. Said artist is coming to town in August, late artist, the weekend he'll be here. So I'll probably be at the AT&T Stadium show, but not as cool as the Rose Bowl.
And he can now go back to the Grammys since they had that conversation.
Yeah,
I don't know if y'all heard about that.
They kissed and made up.
Yeah, they kissed and made up, so he joined the Grammys again.
Wow.
It's a wild story.
Yeah, there's a lot to that. There's a lot of layers to that onion. And real quick, I do want to play this for y'all. It's not the greatest audio because, you know, Monday Night Raw is on Netflix now, and you can't screen record Netflix because they don't want you stealing their content. So
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that's how a lot of people on Twitter would get their clips of viral wrestling moments and put them out there. They would just record it on their phone and then tweet it. You can't do that. When you do it on Netflix, it blacks out the video and the sound. So, like, it just knows it has a restriction on there. So, I have somebody who recorded a little bit of this. They missed a little bit of it. But I was watching Monday Night Raw, as one does. I was just trying to take my mind off of the fact that Luka Doncic is no longer ours, even though he will be forever. And I still couldn't escape it because they were doing one of those aerial shots. They were in Cleveland. And McAfee took a shot at Cleveland sports. He said, your sports stink, but your city's beautiful. And Michael Cole was like, well, the Cavs are really, really good this year. And he says, yeah, the Cavs are good, but the Mavs, not so much. And he said this.
Every once in a while, he ruffles some feathers with how much he likes to eat. So the Mavs are doomed. The Cavs are great.
He was talking about Luka. He said they traded their best player because he ruffled some feathers with how much he likes to eat. And the Mavs are doomed.
The Mavs are doomed.
How much he likes to
eat.
The Cavs are great.
But hold on, let me ask you this. Was that the most brutal sports burn on Monday Night Raw last night? Because the other clip I saw was the New Day on there, and everybody in Cleveland's booing them, and they're like, hey, don't boo us. It's not like we want to be here right now, us or Myles Garrett.
That's good. That's good. I like it. I love that stuff.
And Kevin,
everybody now, right?
Yes.
Yes.
They lose to everybody.
They really do. And a very short version of Are You Better. Yesterday, Elmo turned 45.
Sorry, Kevin.
Remember the Tickle Me, Elmo?
Are you sure?
What?
Elmo said you're better.
How crazy. I can't even remember what year that was, like 99 or something.
And it was, people were like punching people out to get that.
I don't even know what we could compare it to somebody who, like, Alec wasn't alive for the Tickle Me Elmo Christmas craze.
It was insane.
When the first iPhone came out, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, it was, maybe there were older people going for it, but still. All right, excellent edition of AM on the FM.
We're huge.
Yeah. Of course. So you keep trying to bump it. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Next right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Under a minute to play. LeBron with the basketball. LeBron to AD. Going to try a three. Got it!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen. How is you today?
Amazing, Hagee. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I have to admit, the Luka press conference made me less happy. The two things that stuck out, and it's the last line both times, and I get it. But Luka said the trade was a big shock. It was hard moments for me. I had to check if it was April 1st. But now I get to play on the greatest club in the world, and I'm excited for this new journey, which, vomit. But the other one was, honestly, it was hard at first. This first day was really tough. These last 48 hours felt like they've been a month long. And so you do see that surprise, that shock. I don't know if you want to include disappointment in that from Luka. And did you guys watch any of the presser? Obviously, it was happening while our show was going on. Did you guys get a chance
to catch? No, I've been in transit. I've been moving around, getting here, doing stuff. So I haven't seen it. But it's a tough place to be, I think, as a player, because you have to show deference and sadness for the team you're leaving and excitement for the team you're getting to at the same time. You know, I think it just makes it suck a little bit more that, you know, it really feels like Luka, at least for now, didn't want this.
Yeah.
Now, I just would have never imagined that Christmas Day after presents were open and you kind of eat your brunch, lunch, you're like, hey, the Mavericks are on. And he gets off to an unbelievably great start in that game. And then I can't remember, midway through the second quarter is about when the calf went out on him. I would have just never thought.
That's it.
That was going to be the last time I ever watched him play for the Dallas Mavericks. That's the tough part.
I think the biggest news out of that whole thing is that Luka's medical team is all moving with him to Los Angeles. They're about to get a dose of how their training staff is going to work with his training staff. That could be something that really can maybe set organizations off.
And supposedly that's what happened here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that the Lakers did agree to bring his whole entire medical team to Los Angeles, something worth keeping an eye on.
Now, the other thing that happened with the Mavericks today, and I get it, it's not really fair, but Mavericks fans are still palpably angry about what happened with Luka. So you make the trade for it, you trade off Quentin Grimes and a second-round pick, and you pick up Caleb Martin. Every bit of feedback we've gotten, now this within like the last hour and a half that this trade happened was, oh, you traded for an older guy with fairly comparable stat lines, and you gave him a draft pick. Nico wants this to fail, this, that, and the other. Like, and I just want to be clear. I don't believe any of that. And I said, I think Caleb Martin was a monetary decision in part because of the contract status.
Sure.
And Quentin Grimes is going to be a restricted free agent. And the other thing is, quite frankly, this just means that they think Caleb Martin fits in with his team right now better.
Yeah. Well, they think he's a plus defender. And they think he's very, very tough. And they think he's a better playmaker and shooter than what people are giving him credit for.
Interesting.
So that's within their organizations, what they're thinking there.
So I'd be fascinated some if you would see, I know we talked about, you know, Kyrie, Max Christie, PJ, AD, and Gafford, and you're feeling 4 out of 5 plus-ish defense, then maybe you plug in Caleb at either the 2 or the 3, and you still feel like you're keeping that going. So, man, they weren't joking around when they talked about we're going defense. It's just I wish the guy who handled the ball and is probably your best offensive player, although Anthony Davis was really good, was not a minus defender.
Mm. It is kind of weird, though, that the team that won the championship a year ago, right, in the Boston Celtics, weren't they not the best offensive team in basketball?
Yeah, and one of the best defensive teams.
They were. And it's not to say defense doesn't matter, but you do have to. I think there's a massive concern now with how they're constructed. Yeah. If you run into an Oklahoma City Thunder situation and Kyrie struggles in the postseason, who else is now going to step up for you offensively?
This is going to be – I don't think it's going to work. I hope it does. I don't think it's going to work. If the Mavericks can win a championship in the next 2 years with this team, the NBA has to reevaluate how they do this because the Mavericks' goal is now to win 102-98. Let's realistically look at this. Their shooting sucks. How do you play Klay Thompson? If you're a defensive team, Klay used to be one of the best. He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. He's not a good defender anymore. He's arguably one of the worst in the NBA. He just is slow-footed at this point, so he can't really keep anybody in front of him. He only works off of catch and shoots, pretty much, or like the hockey assist where you get it to the big guy, they collapse, the big guy throws it to Klay, he gets a wide-open shot that way. So I'm like, how do you play Klay Thompson if you're wanting to be the best defensive team in the NBA?
Yeah, it's weird. You know, I think they're trying to make the best of a tough situation. You know, once you move on from Luka, you got to sort of reimagine how you're going to go about winning basketball. I hadn't thought of it, but, you know, maybe the multiple superstar Miami Heat era is done. And
some people don't think the Celtics had a superstar at all last year. Yeah. I don't necessarily agree with that.
So great defense, great rebounding, great rim protection. Like, what could that possibly get you as an upside? I totally understand it. I still think you need more than one elite creator, and that's all they have right now. So I could see, like, leaning into defense and rebounding because everything has been so switchable. And you can crush teams on the glass. You can crush teams on points in the paint more than you could back in the 80s just because how the game has evolved. But still, you can't get it done if you can't execute offensively. I like the Caleb Martin trade. You know, I think Quentin Grimes has been playing his best basketball of his life, and they traded him in a good time.
And it led right into being a restricted free agent. Now, something that we talked about yesterday, I'm curious y'all's take. I'm sure you got the opportunity to discuss it quite a bit. There are people, a lot of people, who are like, I don't care if the Mavericks win the championship. It's a meaningless championship. I don't feel that way at all.
No, that's anger. That's anger speaking right there, because, look, the Mavericks have won championship in the history of the
it's 45 years.
We got to feel what a championship in DFW is like. It's so special, getting to enjoy that with the Rangers. What we were able to do in 2011, enjoying it with the Mavericks. We're not, unfortunately, a city of champions. I mean, the Stars have been banging on the door here, but it's still rare to get the ultimate prize here in DFW sports. I understand, you know, the Maverick fans were kind of robbed of the torch passing from Dirk to Luka, and you had this gorgeous possible 35 years of your own individual superstar that was homegrown, that you could love, and it is. It's an amazing story, and that's where I think the real heart of this is, that they were robbed of that. Maybe this ends up working out basketball-wise. Maybe Luka doesn't ultimately get to wherever he envisions he's going to go with the Lakers. I don't know, but man, I think a championship, no matter what, it's going to ease some pain.
I just think there's a lot of Mavs fans now, not unlike some generations of Cowboys fans, that aren't old enough to have been a real fan pre-Luka. You know, it was 14 years ago.
That's probably
true. I think this is a lot of younger, emotional fans, and they're living their reality right now, and it's devastating. Their life as a Mavs fan effectively ended for how they knew it up to this moment. But they'll get other great players that will inspire you to be fans.
Yeah, I hope so. I will say this, and I didn't talk about this today. Maybe it's for tomorrow. I think Luka is going to fail tremendously with the Lakers immediately. That is a horrible team constructed around Luka. If you were to say, we want to make the worst team possible in the history of basketball for a Luka-led team, go get some dudes that can't play defense, that have no height, no rim protection.
No bigs.
They're not athletic around him. Their two best athletes are a 40-year-old who is still very athletic. And Dorian Finney-Smith. That's it.
I think the league knew it. You know, I think that after watching Magic Johnson in the late teens and then LeBron James after that ruin the Lakers with their personnel moves, they knew they couldn't contend now. They knew they couldn't contend in the foreseeable future or the long-term future, right? They had to figure out a way to get them star players. And, you know, if Nico does in fact leave this job within the next couple of years, to me it will cinch it that this was an inside job. It's the only thing that makes sense.
There's a lot of whispers that that might already be the case. Like, he doesn't want to be a GM for very long. So
that's what I saw from All City Dallas.
I don't know.
If that happens and he goes to work with the league office for a big multi-million-dollar salary, to me it'll confirm it.
But what if the Mavericks win big along the way, though?
That would be great.
And then you don't feel an inside job, right?
No, I still would think it's an inside job.
It makes a lot of sense. If you just think the NBA was a piece of dump with Kareem, Dr. J, Havlicek, Pistol Pete Maravich, like, we liked watching him play in college. NBA basketball is the stupidest thing alive. And then Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, I will say luckily, got to the Celtics and the Lakers, and then all of a sudden in the mid-'80s, the United States of America that didn't care about NBA basketball thought it was unbelievable. Then Michael was unbelievable, and those guys had to work their ass off just to make $1 million every game. I don't care if your knee's blown out. Figure it the F out. Kevin McHale played a whole season with a broken foot. Like, he played with Derek Lively's foot. It wasn't smart. I'm not saying to do it, but they're like, we have to, or our league dies again.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always. Hagee, thanks for asking. Day one for the rest of us here. We joined Broadus on Radio Row, brought to you by Stella Artois and the Low T Center. And Mark Schlereth is going to join us at 4:40 for our weekly football conversation. Looking forward to that.
Awesome. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., live from New Orleans, Media Row on 105.3 The Fan.
Say, Broadus should drink all this Stella today, Kevin.
Ooh, Artois.
Cheers.